Good morning. Great to see everybody out this morning. One of the advantages of working with Ty is we can call on each other, talk to each other pretty regularly. So Ty asked me earlier in the week if I'd take this week for him. And actually, I think he spoke with Danny and he'd asked him to come over to Bellsville. So that's why he and Megan are over there. But I'm glad to be with you this morning. And actually, I really like this lesson. Doesn't mean I'll do a good job delivering it, but I like the point of the lesson, and I hope you do as well. I'm going to take you a little bit of an adventure this morning. And I don't know if you know about this movie or remember this movie. It was actually one of my favorite movies growing up. It was called Back to the Future. And we're going to take a little bit of time warp travel this morning. We're going to go back in time. And then we're going to go forward in time and take a look at what we can learn from that. And there are a lot of things we can learn from the past and a lot of things that we can learn about how what we're doing today might impact the future. The storyline in this story is it's 1980. I think it was 1985, somewhere around that time frame. This movie came out. Marty McFly, or as most of us know, Michael J. Fox. And so he's got this really eccentric scientist, Doc Brown. You know, I've worked with a couple guys just like Doc Brown. And this crazy mad scientist comes up with this time machine. He converts a DeLorean into a time machine. And so he goes back and he creates a problem. Somehow, Michael J. Fox's, or in this case, McFly, his dad, is no longer pursuing his mother. And so he's not going to live. He's going to disappear because all of a sudden, somehow, something happened. And so he's got to go back and fix it. He's got to go back and fix the problem, or else he and his siblings are not going to exist. And not only that, at the end of the movie, he's got to come back and save his good friend there. But in this, when he goes back in time, he's like, his mother falls in love with him. And so now he's got to somehow get his dad the courage to go out and seek after his mother. Anyhow, very cool storyline. And what I really liked about the story and what we're going to focus on this morning from a lesson standpoint, it is decisions we make not only affect us, but those around us, and can change the trajectory of our and others' future forever. Decisions we're making today. Look at what happened 50 years ago. So we're going to go back in time and look around 1970, see what was going 50 years ago. And look at maybe decisions that were made back then that are impacting what's going on today. Other thing is, there's important choices we need to consider carefully because of their long-lasting impact. And then finally, we're going to launch off into the future 50 years and see what might be the world might look like in the year 2070. So hang on, here we go. 50 years ago, 1970, famous for bell bottoms and the rise of disco. So you may remember that. It also was an era of economic struggle. It wasn't easy 50 years ago. I can't remember a lot about it. I was a child. I can remember not eating, just going to fast food restaurants. They weren't on every corner. We used to go to Bohandy's, and I remember the KFC and down in Bridgeport, really special treat on Sunday. We'd drive down there. But other than that, there wasn't much. It isn't like it is today. It was very different. 1972, the Munich Massacre. I didn't remember at all. So I was doing a little search, and this is where some Palestinians, they end up killing like 11 Olympic athletes from Israel. Vietnam War. I'd forgotten that the Vietnam War didn't end until 1973. There may be some here that remembers that, served in the war. I remember all the political chaos around that. Ebola. If we would see the results from COVID that Ebola had, it would be so many people would have died. Over 80%, 88% of the people, 9 in 10, that got Ebola died. So you can see why there is concern when you see something like COVID come around. So I would describe the 1970s as a pretty challenging time, very difficult relative to what we see today. Some of the technology advancements. Some of these, I remember that Rubik's Cube. I remember that first came out, man. That was the coolest toy. Still like, see them floating around here from time to time. But the floppy disk. A lot of you kids don't even know what that is. You might have seen one and not known what it is. You can see the mobile phone. Looked a little different back then, didn't it? And guess what? Not everybody had one. I remember when there wasn't cell phones. There's some in our audience today probably don't remember what it was like, a world without cell phones. But they didn't exist. That TV, I can remember TVs that looked like that, and you had the little clicker, and you got maybe channel 7 and 9 if you're lucky. If you're really good and go up on the roof and spin that antenna, you might get channel 4 just a little fuzzy. I remember those days. Push through can tops. So a lot of innovations during the 70s. What about the church here 50 years ago? 1970, I would have been 5 years old, and little Gary would have been just a baby. We went to Sandy Ridge Church of Christ. I remember that. In fact, in five, it's my first real memories. I remember us living in Spiedel. And I can remember the toys that I got for Christmas. And I can remember riding bikes all the time on that road. And I especially remember the Frosty Treat, riding that bike. It seemed like it was 3 miles. You look at it now, it's probably a couple hundred yards that I had to ride that bike, but it seemed like 3 miles at the time. So a lot of good memories there that I can remember when I was in 70. You know, I can't remember who preached at Sandy Ridge. I remember going to Bible class, though. I do remember that. I remember Beth Bunning. She and I were like pals because we were in school together. We were both the two little shortest kids in the whole class. And we were in Bible class together. And I remember how big a deal it was when I could write in cursive. And we remembered, and I remember that being in Bible class, her and I talking about that. So I remember that. Actually, I think I had a crush on her at the time. And then Dad told me she was my cousin. So that blew that out of the water. But it worked out in the end. And I remember Ken Frazier and Alice came to Barnesville in 1973. And I remember Dad gave me this little black notebook. I actually need to go in his office. He probably still has it. And I would meticulously copy down all his lessons. And I would even try to copy the charts. His lessons were graphically very pleasing, and I would try to copy that down. And I remember that. I remember we always went to church. And I remember many who went to church in the 70s who, they're not here. I don't know what happened. You go back in time and say, what decision made either by the parents or by the child changed things? Well, they're not here anymore. Close friends, close relatives, family. I don't see them. Don't even hardly talk to them anymore. They don't don the door of a church building. You think, what changes could I make? You know, sometimes you can do nothing. You know, it's so easy for parents to feel, I'm responsible. What did I do? What mistakes did I make when I was raising my kids to cause them to end up where they are? And I will argue, this is the future lesson, it absolutely nothing sometimes. There are, as Matthew 13 points out, there are certain hearts that are receptive to the gospel and some that aren't. And so when I look at how I was raised, or my brother and my sister who are basically at home, were raised the same. Some don't. Some are faithful to the Lord. Some are not. So if you can go back in time, this is the question. If you go back in time, what would you change? And this would be probably more interesting to those that are older in our congregation. If you go back to 1970 and go back in time, what would you actually change? What decisions would you maybe... make sure I'm clicking the right one here. There's our little DeLorean going back in time here. You know, one of the things I would do is I'd start playing golf sooner. I didn't pick up a golf club until I was a senior in high school. Played 1 year in high school. I loved football growing up, but you know what? I wish I'd have started playing golf when I was a freshman in high school. Honda Accord. Dad and Mom gave me a Honda Accord when we were first married. I wish I'd have said, thanks, Dad and Mom, but no thanks. it had some kind of sugar or something in the gas tank, and I carried these filters around in my, and I struggled with that car for years. We struggled with that car for years. I finally caught on fire when I was at working at Rockwell. And I'm sure there's cars you've bought, and you may go back and say, you know what, I would have never bought that car. That's probably something we can all think of. I wish I'd have talked to my grandparents and great parents more. You know, I'm really big on ancestry and going back, and there's questions I got, and there's nobody here I can go talk to anymore about it. But I bet my grandpa would know the answer to that, or my great grandma and grandpa would have known the answer to that question. Spent more time with my kids. Talk more about God and the importance of spiritual things. Spend more time with family. You know, you can't go back. You can't go back and change it. But let me just tell you, for those of you in our audience, there are things we wish we could change. And you have the ability to do that. Less time at work. Work consumes so much of our time. Maybe change decisions we've made. Big decisions have had impacts. The way maybe you treated others. The way I treated others. You know, I'm going back. You know, I used to treat this person terribly. I wish I'd go back and change that. I wish I wouldn't have said that. I wish I'd go back in time and pull those words back. Drinking. Bad friends. You know, Roger Rucker, I grew up with, and he was on my basketball team. Actually was dating my sister. He died, and you looked at that car, and there was like very little damage to it. He didn't have a seatbelt on. If he had a seatbelt on, 99% chance he would have survived that. Can't go back and change it. So many things I think we look back and say, you know what, if I could just go back. But we can't. So we're going to notice some things that we are very important. We need to make sure that we make good decisions around, because it does change the trajectory of your life and others around you. First one, choosing to make. Going to Belmont Tech. That was a big decision in my life. Didn't know I was going to find my wife there. But you know what? That was a great decision. Not just because I got an education and helped my career, but because I found Sue there. But there are many people who wish they'd go back in time and say, you know what? I wish I'd go back and change that. That didn't work out like I thought it was going to. This choice will determine to a great extent the degree of your happiness. If you're with a spouse that doesn't love you, doesn't care for you, doesn't work, doesn't provide for your children, is not a good mother, doesn't have a loving, caring heart for their children, that's a terrible thing, and it affects you not just now but forever, your trajectory. Proverbs 12:4, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. And children are affected by the violence of divorce. You may think you can just simply divorce a person if they turn out to be a bad choice. There is no way to reverse that choice made, especially if you have children with them. It permanently damages those children and their emotional well-being. Malachi 2:16, for the Lord, the God of Israel, saith, he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, said the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed your spirit that ye deal not treacherously. Choosing a career. This is really easy to fall into this snare. To chase the money. To get further ahead financially. Even from a worldly viewpoint, the choice is important. Do you make the decision to honor God first? You know, if we do, we'll be blessed. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, the job market's always changing. The wrong choice could lead to financial or fiscal hardship. But more importantly, the choice can have a lasting effect on your marriage, your family, and most of all, your service to God. And so it's an important decision. But if we make money the primary factor in our decision, destruction will follow. Be careful that you don't chase the money. Because as 1 Timothy 6 tells us, it is the root of all evil. And those that coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Choosing your friends. How many would like to go back and change decisions they made about friends? You know, having close friends can be a wonderful blessing. Proverbs 17:17, a friend that loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. There's nothing better than having great friends. There's also a lot of danger, great danger in choosing the wrong friends. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. Proverbs 12:26. Be not deceived, evil communication corrupts good morals. And so the friends that you pick today could affect you, could draw you away, draw you into the world, and draw you away from God. We need to be careful in choosing our friends. And most importantly, we need to choose Jesus. And so the question is, will you choose Jesus or follow Jesus or not? Will you become his disciple? Or will you refuse to accept his gracious gift? Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. Jesus is offering you rest. Will you pick it? Will you choose it? Matthew 20:18-20 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Is there a bigger decision that could be made that will have an effect on you and your family than dedicating your life to Jesus? You know, I've talked about my great-great-grandmother, and I learned my great-great-great-grandparents were members of the Lord's Church. Think about the impact they've had on lives. Is there a bigger decision you can make? Let me just tell you, there's not. Can we see the influence it has had on you and your family? Can you go back, those in our congregation, remember back 50 years ago? Can you see making that decision and committing your life to Jesus, how that's impacted your family or others around you? Let me just tell you, don't give up. You may think my kids are not faithful to the Lord. But let me just tell you, you don't know who you're influencing. When you look at the church, it talks about brothers and sisters in Christ. You're having an influence, and you're influencing others. And it may or may not be your direct family, or it could be, and you may not be alive to see it. We need to stay faithful to the Lord. And to seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom ye will serve. Whether gods which your fathers that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Be committed to serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. So some suggestions in making wise choices. First of all, ask God. If any man you lack wisdom, let him ask God. It giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. James 1:5. Proverbs 2:1-9, as the scripture reading pointed out there, talks about seeking after wisdom. If you look closely at those verses, it talks about incline thine ear to hear unto wisdom. Apply thy heart to understanding. It talks about seeking her as silver, and searcheth for her as hid treasures. We need to seek after God's wisdom. It says, Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. You've got to be committed and willing to seek after God, asking Him for wisdom. Go to God and ask for wisdom. Don't be afraid to ask others for advice. Again, if you went back and asked some of the folks here and said, would you have changed something in the past? You may have said, you know what, I wish I'd listened to mom or dad or somebody else. I wish I'd have took their advice. There's safety in having many counselors. Proverbs 11:14. Where no counsel is, people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Don't be afraid to take the advice. And don't be dismissive of those that are wise and older, and listen to them. We have two great, also, there's wisdom and healing in the counsel of others. Proverbs 12:15. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth to the counsel is wise. And there's two great sources of counsel. The Bible itself, and then the other is older, mature Christians. Don't hesitate to go ask them for advice or help. If I could go back in time, I would listen to the advice of others. All right, now we're going to fast forward, get back on our DeLorean, and fast forward into the future. James 4:15 says, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live, do this or that. So let me just tell you, I'm projecting out 50 years, but it's only if the Lord wills. Nobody may not be here 50 years from now. But just for a moment, let's pretend that 50 years from now, we're going to fast forward and see what life is going to be like. What's it going to be like here in Barnesville 50 years from now? First of all, fusion power is going to be widespread. I don't know if you know this, but there's already most leading countries are already in the process of building a fusion plant. It's like nuclear power, but a lot safer. And energy is going to be in prominent supply. It's not going to be an issue. There's not going to be fracking. There's not going to be coal mining. It's going to be fusion. Other thing is fully automated homes. This is going to be really cool. Holographic generators cover the whole interior of the property. So no matter where you are, you're not going to have your cell phone on. You literally can just talk, and this holographic image is going to appear in front of you. Then you're going to be able to push buttons, what looks like buttons. Walls, doors, work surfaces, mirrors, shower cubicles. Intelligent surfaces that can track the position of the occupant, display information whenever and wherever it's necessary. Absolutely going to happen. I can tell you, I know enough about what's going on. It's absolutely going to happen 50 years from now. Robots are going to be everywhere. From ant-sized cleaning robots, I really like that. Just click the old robot and go to town in the kitchen. Package delivery drones, guard drones. You have a drone that guards your house. You're going to have a gun. You're going to have a drone. It's going to protect you. Pretty much the entire labor workforce of all developed countries, there will be either an AI robot or a driven robot. With robots and AI taking most of the jobs. I'll tell you, I could have used a robot last Saturday when Gary and I were finishing concrete. And even this Saturday when we were out putting land, my back is still a little stiff from that. I can't wait till they develop that robot. But that's going to happen as well. The Hyperloop. What's the Hyperloop? Did you see the announcement this last week? West Virginia is getting a Hyperloop test center. It was announced actually, I think, on October the 8th. Certification center, 800 acres there in West Virginia, is being dedicated to this. This Hyperloop will propel passengers along a 350-mile route at a speed of 760 miles per hour. That means it'd take me about 8 minutes to get to Columbus. Imagine that, 8 minutes. Yeah, you could go 350 miles in 35 minutes. The world's going to get even smaller. What's this church going to be in 50 years? Service is going to be different. I'm not sure if it's going to be a holographic image or what it's going to look like. You'll be able to pick your psalm book. I'm not sure. It's going to be interesting. So there'll be a few things probably change here. But you know what? Most things are not going to change. Truth doesn't change. Will there be division between now and then? You know, there was division in the church in the 30s, in the 50s. You know, you realize that's actually a great testimony. This church has not had a division since the 1950s, over 70 years. Amen to that. But will the church still exist? You can go back. Churches that their church, small churches around, maybe in the 1970s, they aren't here anymore. I'm going to take one quick survey. Any boy or man who is below the age of 26, please raise your hand. 26 years old, get up high so everybody can see him. 26 years old and younger. If you're a girl or a young lady that's below the age of 31, please raise your hand. Now look around at who doesn't have their hand up. On average, these people are all gone. Nobody's going to be here. If it doesn't, I can't have my hand up. I won't be here. in 2070. This is the future of the church. 50 years from now, will there be someone still here? And this is a question for those who didn't have their hands up. Is there somebody that just raised their hand that you can have an influence on? Or are there others around that you can have an influence on? Because quite frankly, that's the future of the church. Is there going to be a church here 50 years from now? Is going to rely on the folks that had their hands up. Will your influence lead others to Christ? How are you influencing those that will be here in the future? We're being careful about encouraging the young. Encouraging those that are around us. Because you know what? The church needs rocks. You know, one thing I found about the small congregations that I have gone to is there are rocks in that church. Sometimes maybe only one or two people. Those are the rocks that keep the church solid. We need rocks. Which of our children are going to be those rocks in the future that keep us going? In conclusion, many times we will not be able to go back and fix our mistakes. Most of the time. All the time. May we ever be open to the wisdom from God and the counsel of others as we make important decisions that affect the future. Our spouses, our careers, our friends, and most importantly, Jesus. Have you made the most important decision you will ever face in this life? Committing your life to Him? That one decision will determine your eternal destiny. As I pointed out, we're not going to be here. Most of us are not going to be here 50 years from now. The decision to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior, why not decide to follow Him today? And become His disciple. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Also, Acts 2:36-31 says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when he heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children, and to those that are far off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call." Think back how long ago that was. It still rings just as true today. As many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And that day were added about 3,000 souls. Most important decision you will ever make in your life is committing your life to Jesus and influencing others around you to do the same. So as we walk today, think about not just how things affect my decisions affect me, but affect others that are around me. Be committed to the Lord today. If you've never been obedient to the gospel, commit your life to Jesus. Encourage others to do the same, because when it's all said and done, it's the only thing that's going to matter, is where we are with Him. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation and we can assist you in any way, please come while together we stand and while we sing.